Chapter 2, Samuel chapter 2, King's reign of justice. And this is a rather lengthy chapter, and so I'm not going to read all the verses because we'll look at both of them as we go through. Let's just read verse 1 in English. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep broke from him. This is, in some way, one of the most important prophetic chapters in the Bible. And in what we might call the NBC prophecy, we should read this in Daniel chapter 7, as well as Revelation chapter 13 and 17. But here, chapter 2 centers around the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, ruler of that splendid, if you want to call it that way, city of Babylon, the great splendor, the mighty monarch there. And this is probably the greatest civilization at that time in existence. In this chapter, though, we find that he was greatly disturbed by him. And this is actually something that is very, very interesting when we see who's behind all of this. Notice, first of all, three things about the king. Verse 1, his name. He dreamed a dream, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep deprived, and he did in the night and when he see the days in which he lived, dreams and apparitions were quite common, and they were real to those who dreamed in them, and regarded as that they were to take notice of. And what he did not was that he knew that this dream had to do with the future. Look down at verse 29, at the first part of verse 29. For thee, O king, the thoughts came from thy mind upon thy head, what shall come to pass hereafter. So his dream is the first thing we find out about the king. Now, second, we think about and look at his dilemma. And we see there in verse 28, then the king commanded all the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the audience for to tell the king his dream, so that he would stand before them. And the king said unto them, my dream is open, and my spirit was troubled to know the name. Then spake the child Jesus to the king, O king, live forever. Tell thy brothers the thing, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered, said, if God do the things gone from you, if you will not make known unto me the thing, with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your mouth shall be made a dunghill. And if you know the dream and the interpretation thereof, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Pretty good to say, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will throw the interpretation of it. On the action there, I know with certainty that you will gain this the time, because you see the dream is gone from you. That's quite a task we call upon him to do what he's done. To interpret the dream, but he doesn't tell you more than anything about the dream. You don't say, if you can't remember it, but you see, these kings, some of them were just small birds. And they locked him off at the drop of a hat. And he threatened to cut them to pieces. But then they did what he said in the letter. And they came out of these pictures before he even said, set down the heap on the earth and control the king's mouth. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler, that has such things and any given for our sorrow, our sufferings, and it is a rare thing that the King requires. There is none other that can serve before the King except the God, whose dwelling is not with flesh. But there is another dilemma, first of all, because he remembered the dream, and then because his wives were incapable of recalling the details of what they didn't know and given their interpretation of. So maybe the magicians, the sorcerers, and the shadows are the strongest to help them, and so they say so in verse 11. There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. So he sees the dilemma that he was in. Well, look at the consequence of that, the decree that he issued, the verse 9. But you will not let no one believe the dream. There is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. Then verse 4. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded that he slay all the wise men of Babylon. And then the first part, and the decree was forth that the wise men should be slain. For his king was infuriated, and so he ordered the destruction of all the wise men of Babylon. Now, they were a crafty lot of impostors, and they were just munching off their teeth. And you can come through, and they, including Daniel and his friends, were to die. Look at the latter part of verse 14. They saw Daniel and his fellows to be slain. So, see the dilemma of the decree that he had because of his dream. Everybody cheers the victory of Daniel, and we may think, well, Daniel and the early Hebrew children, some of them were from Daniel, when they heard this decree, how did they feel about it? Well, I think it was true, but the way they felt about it was as angry that God was in control even of history, all of history, and that on that that he rested and helped them to the second thing is the three things about Daniel. Not only is his desire, verse 14, is then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Well, he requested the king's permission for time to find out the dream and it was meant. And what we see in Daniel here? The one thing that caused all this great grief it was. On the line, and one of all of the others. But look at the way he had at this point in this situation. I think that Daniel sincerely believed that God would reveal and could reveal the forgotten dream and give an interpretation of it. Well, look at that verse 14 through 23 of his devotion. This is what Daniel did. And this is what we can do every time we face threats of the Lord. Then went Daniel to his house and found the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercy and desire God and turn to Jesus, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then once the Peter revealed unto Daniel in the night vision, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things, what we desire of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. What did Daniel do? What did Daniel do? To the Lord in prayer. And that is exactly what Daniel did, and that's what we should call them to. So, Daniel shared his problem with his friends. He held a prayer meeting. He received up into the prayer and gave all the glory and praise to God. And what an orphan this was, what a speed that God gave them, and what praise filled their hearts and their lips. Now, let's look next at the declaration from 24 through 30. Therefore, Daniel went in unto Adlock. Whom the king had ordained and told the wife in vain, he went and said unto her, thus unto him, Rejoice not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will go unto the king and bring temptation. Then Arion brought him down before the king in haste and said, thus unto him, I have found a man of the statue of Judah that will make known unto the king and bring temptation. The king answered, and said to Daniel, his name was thus carried on, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king, and said, the spirit which the king has demanded about the wise men, the astrologers, and the soothsayers, throw unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets, and makes known to the king and the people what shall be in the latter day. Thy king and the visions of the head upon thy banner are these, and for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into my mind upon thy banner, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that reveals secrets makes known to thee what will come to pass. For me, the secret is not revealed to him or any wisdom, that I have more than he knew, but for this sake, that I make known the interpretation of the king. That thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Now, he must have been very excited when he went before Arioch, and then he stood in before the king. And in verse 29, we know that he is very careful to give God the glory. So, what did he do? Look at the problem that Daniel followed. He prayed, he called his companions together, he prayed about this. Repeat God's mind about this, and then he prayed God for the answer that was given, and then he went into the king to relate to him, to convey to him what the dream was, what it was all about, and he testified to the glory of God. Now, all those things are very different for us. I've called your attention before to how to send them. Before going to the cross in John chapter 12, he said, Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Nevertheless, for this hour come I into the world. Father, glorify your name. Now is my soul troubled, what shall I say? Father, glorify your name. This is a pattern that we should all follow at all times. Well, and several things about the king. Look at verse 28. It was divine in its origin. Verse 28 says, But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king that he never was to be in the latter days. There is the Lord who has caused Nebuchadnezzar to fall to him in those days before the scripture was canonized. God often spoke to people through dreams. Look with me over in Job chapter 33, verse 15 and 16. And see this transpiring of poor Job. Job 33, 15, he can hear him in a vision of the night when victory falls upon man, and slumbers upon the bed, then he opens the ears of man and still says, That's what he did. Remember that. And that's what he did. And related, interpreted in a dream for Daniel. you told me what I was going to do in the end. He said, there's that humble time that afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all men, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And where was he going to be taken? The people said, what they would do, and who they would do that. And that's the question of religion. What they would do, this is that which they are the prophets of, and they wondered what they would do. And so we see the divine in it for us. In Colossians 31 through 35, it is here this detail. Thou, O King, shall also behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent. What stood before it, and the form thereof was terrible. The image thereof was a fine gold, with breath and garments of silver, its belly and thighs of brass, its legs of iron, its feet part of iron and part of flesh, that thought filled with a stone. Was cut out without him, which smote the king with on his feet that were of iron and gold, and broke down the beams. Then was the iron, the flesh, the brass, and the gold, the silver, and the gold, broken to pieces together, and became like the sons of the common threshing floors. And the women carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became great mountain and filled the whole earth. And the two main things about this, there was a statue, and a pillar, and a rock. Verse 31, the statue was a figure of a Babylonian man. Verse 32, the head was made of gold. Verse 32 also, the chest and arms were of silver. The belly and thighs were of bronze. Verse 33, the legs were of iron, and the feet and the toes were partly iron and partly flesh. So in his dream, the king saw a great rock that smote the statue on the feet. So it was clear in its detail that had been moved stone. Look at what it says in verse 35. Filled the whole earth with what is the stone? The stone was cut without hands. And it was fine. The first thing we read is prophet in Nicholas. In his dream, the king was given a panoramic view of history, the history and the times of the Gentiles. Luke 21, verse 24, we have that reference of the times of the Gentiles. That is a period of at least 2,500 years, which the court will conclude at the second coming of Christ. Well, when Daniel told the king what the dream was, he then gave the meaning of it in verse 34 through 45. So, what goes through the court? Three things about the interpretation. It was and is comprehended in its quote. Now, if you look at the various parts of the statue, you will find it that it represents kingdoms. The prophet again, the chapter is all about kingdoms. And here we go, verse 46 through 48, the golden head, the Babylonian empire. Verse 39, the first part, the chest and arms, the middle Persian empire. The last part of verse 39, the belly and thighs, the Grecian empire. And then verse 40, the legs and iron, the Roman empire. And verse 41 through 43, the feet and toes of iron and clay. And that represents the Jewish actions that we get to see until we stand for our revived Roman Empire under the cross. So notice that the two and the toes represent the last Gentile kingdom or form of government before the Lord comes. Because what happens to the teaching? Well, look at verse 44 and 45. In the day of the king, by the God of heaven, shall the kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but they shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and they shall stand forever. For as much as thou thoughtest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and then broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to his people what shall come to pass hereafter, and the name is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. The rock is Christ. He is the rock of ages, from which believers are built for stability, and from whom believers get their satisfaction. Christ is the stone cut without pieces. In other words, it's designed that he's going to come and at the appointed time and deal a mortal blow to all human governments. And now he's coming to set up his own glorious kingdom. So it was and is comprehensive in scope. Second, it was and is certain in its fulfillment. The major part of the prophecy has been fulfilled literally. You have to see the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and the Roman Empire, they come and go, and the ruling represented by the feet and toes of the iron clay, what they're not doing. Well, this is it was dismissed by the coming of the great rock, and then what will happen? For the Lord himself will rule upon the earth. Third thing, it was and is common in its humanity. It is God is sovereign in the affairs of men and nations. He is working to a plan, and he has revealed that plan in his word. It is one that he put down human government and to establish his own rule and reign of righteousness. If we are living in the last days in truth, those of us who love and serve the Lord, we want to walk the walk and talk the talk. We want to be careful about how we live. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 11 through 14. And let us see this word that Peter taught the prophetic praying on before. Seeing then that all these things are being dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and governance, looking for and tasting in the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens do not fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with further heat. Nevertheless, we Christians, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for those things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blemish. And so, here you have a prophetic word through the prophet Daniel. And Daniel interpreted the dream, and and he's able to do so because God revealed these things to him. Now, the dream reveals that God is in control of history. Remember what we read earlier? He said that things, he's coming down as well. The dream's heart is in the hand of the Lord, just like river of water, he turns it whichever way he wants it. God is in control and is in sovereign control. God is not alarmed by real alarms about things. I don't think God is worried about his president and his worthy president. I worry about this, but I don't think God is. we've got word about who to go to metal things from meetings and put them in between because we work at the things that come from past. And even the evil that takes place, God rules and overrules it. He is in charge of all things. And we sit there, born out in the dream that Daniel interpreted. That's another thing that we can see and find out. Human enterprises define as time goes on. Those empires, including the crime, and then changing and going on. For instance, notice how the age changed in value from head to toe, from role to point. It also changed in strength, the iron shading and things made of iron mixed with strength. So, that is something that all the colleagues were up to that even in our own name. We're not what we used to be. In my estimate, I think we all agree with that. Things are on the decline. Well, that's prophesied in the Bible. Love will abate and iniquity will abound, is what the Bible says. Perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves and come through that ear today. I get perturbed to have a smoke about their people. But that becomes the norm. It will be difficult for things to hold together at the end of the age. If you read the book of Revelation, certain portions of it, you'll discover how things will really fall apart. And if you discover this in time, you realize that they will come on falling apart. Some things still do. Lord, especially, but the rest of the world is crumbling and falling apart. Some of our realm doesn't mean that they will look at any one. You mentioned with how that our present existence, Lord, to be a man, just in such marriage, Switzerland is considering. It's not a crime for friends or parents to molest their children. If they're not a certain age, it's not like it's important to be able to say things are just not holding anything. So we see a prophetic listening. And privacy is something that I've never really gotten involved in. But Lord, but Daniel did not have my voice because that's what it is, a prophetic book. And so as we go further, we'll see more promises and we'll see the meaning of that. Now, we might ask, well, Daniel and Cleveland in Israel, hopefully, are honored. I don't know. I didn't know those words about this in those minutes. So we can study that. He did know that God is in charge. He did know that God will take care of things. And certainly, God will take care of things. Okay, anything you want to add? If you have a question, that's somebody who's smart. Well, thank you for having a question there.